You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh yeah. It's that time again. You're listening to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show, the only metal podcast dedicated to talking about things among ourselves, and sometimes with other people. It's a groundbreaking concept. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my co-host, 365 Days of Horror, and Brutusary. How's it going, fellas?
I'm fine, how about you?
Good. I thought I was going to have to move. I thought I was losing my home, but nope, everything's fine. I'm staying put.
Congrats on not being homeless.
Yeah, that's always kind of a plus, right?
Yeah.
What was the situation?
So the situation was we had a very sweet old landlady who is she's getting very old, and usually when people get very old, they just sell their properties and enjoy the twilight of their years. So she sold our house to some rando, a guy I've never talked to, a guy I've never shook hands with, seen face to face. I got wind that he was planning on raising our rent, and there was possible talk of a lease, whereas right now we're month to month, and I just wasn't cool with that. So it's a bit of a self-created issue. I was like, all right, I gotta get the fuck out of here right now. So we were desperately looking around for all sorts of other places before August, which is coming right up. June is almost over. So I just was freaking out, and after talking it through and talking to my other neighbors and stuff, I think we'll be fine, and I'm just gonna stay put. And it sounds like the guy is very reasonable and something I can work with him, so I'm just gonna stick it out, and things are okay. And I just freaked out, and I gotta chill on that and drink less coffee.
I've never heard of a landlord being cruel or raising anybody's rates beyond what I mean, so you're probably fine.
Probably.
Cool. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I think we're just about in a heat wave here for the first time in the Northeast, so I'm trying to keep my apartment a crisp, like, 74 degrees, so I don't melt.
Good luck, pal. As I was mentioning, I get up at, 5:30 and 6 every morning so I can take my dogs for a walk, because they're brachiocephalic, and they will die if I try to take them for a walk in any other part of the day. It's a hot one, folks. I saw Hereditary last night. Have you folks seen that one?
Not yet. I've seen the commercials and like the previews for it, and I know people were going nuts over it when it first came out. How was it?
Well, I was initially pretty turned off by people making comparisons to it alongside like The Babadook or The Witch.
The Witch, yeah, I've seen those too.
Like I those movies are perfectly fine, but I don't think that they were like the game-changing horror films that, the mass critic market had made them out to be.
People who aren't really horror fans.
Right, exactly.
Tended to love those movies.
Yeah, and that's kind of a weird trend. Like, maybe once a year, the non-horror people will come out of the woodwork and say, like, this is the next great horror film, it's the next great Exorcist. So
yep.
I get pretty prickly about that kind of effusive praise, but I will say that Hereditary was something else, man. Like, it was pretty brutal. I would hesitate to call it scary, but it is overwhelming. So if you want to feel bad for 2 hours, definitely go watch Hereditary.
Yeah, I feel bad most of the time. Why do I want to spend 2 hours feeling extra
well, like, the entire time, like, when something really horrific was happening on screen, I was thinking to myself, I could be watching all of the Police Academy movies right now.
Yeah, right. I feel like I'm taking some personal offense here, because I liked a lot of those movies a lot, and I probably was one of the people that was piling on praise. And the more I talk to horror fans, like guys who are way into horror, actually what they like is comedy films. They just like stupid zany shit, and that just has blood all over it. So
yeah, I think there's different levels of horror fans.
Yeah, yeah. You've got your slasher fans that like just want to like watch topless teenagers be murdered in increasingly silly ways.
Right. Like a Rube Goldberg device of ridiculous grotesque murders.
That was the initial title of the Saw franchise.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I really like zombie movies, but I have zero interest in, like, Eli Roth torture porn type movies.
Oh, yeah, no, the official Toilet of Hell stance, of course, is fuck to Eli Roth.
Yeah, guy's a fucking creep.
But I feel what you're saying. I think it's worth checking out, but it is a heavy one. It is extremely heavy. Very interesting last-minute twist, though. I'm surprised that nobody spoiled any of this shit, so...
yeah.
It's cool.
So I'll check it out. It's the slam metal of horror movies.
I don't think that analogy quite works.
No. You just said heavy, so I just went with the dumbest thing I could think of possible.
Is it a better twist than all of M. Night Shyamalan's perfect, amazing twists that he's accomplished throughout the years of cinema?
Well, my lady and I were talking about this the entire way. Like, the entire movie is kind of a twist in that you think that one thing is going to happen next, and it's something that is adjacent but moves completely perpendicular to the action you were expecting. So it is... very, very good writing on it. Again, cool. Like, it's all in service of making you feel bummed the fuck out. But
fuck.
Yeah.
I gotta go see it. Those things go out of... Like, movies these days go to theaters in, like, 20 minutes. So, you know, I gotta go run and see it then. I wanted to, but I just never took the time to do it. So I'll check it out.
But this was, you know, my lady was insistent that we go see this one ever since she saw the first trailer, however long ago, that she desperately wanted to do this one. So afterwards, she was like, fuck, that was harsh. And I'm like, yep. So I get to choose the next couple ones. And you better believe we're going to see The Purge, the first Purge, on opening night, July 4th.
Oh, boy.
If y'all haven't seen those movies, you're fucking up. They're great.
Okay.
So, getting to the meat of this week's show, as it were, hands down the biggest story in music, whether or not people would choose to deign its status of being a story, is these allegations that came out anonymously on Twitter regarding Tool and A Perfect Circle frontman Maynard James Keenan. His actions allegedly against an underage girl. So judging from the way that our views on the site have worked, I normally have to explain things, but it looks like everybody read this one. So are you guys familiar with the story?
Yeah, I saw it the day it was posted.
We should probably talk about this.
Some qualifiers first, though.
Yep.
None of us have any way of knowing about what actually happened.
True.
All of us are just kind of giving our personal opinion on what we think happened. And before I get into it, I'm erring on the side of the victim's story. And I have a lot of reasons for that. We'll discuss those as the show goes on. But, you know, of course, we in journalism, even if we can call this journalism, we use words like accused and alleged because, you know, we have to.
We have
no way of knowing, and there's no way to prove any of it at this point. And so that's how we're going to go about it.
Everything that we're going to talk about on the show need to be prefaced with alleged and accused. We don't know anything. But we can defer some, you know, decisions on our own. It's worth noting that, as a million commenters have pointed out, Maynard is innocent, you know, until proven guilty in a court of law. If you will note, this podcast is not a court of law. It is a court of opinion, which is how most things exist.
The biggest cop out that whenever these stories happen, innocent until proven guilty. This isn't a court of law. It's a blog. This is a podcast. We are talking about what has been said. There is no trial. There's no trial of your peers.
Right. So as I'm sure we'll do at some point in this podcast, all three of us, is we're going to say something like MJK did this, or MJK, you know, you could pull a quote from me where it sounds like I directly say he did the thing, but we're saying this first. We don't really know that 100%, but we're just going to go based off, you know, our opinion of the situation and what we think happened. So just take it with a grain of salt. And if you don't like it, fuck off.
Yeah, there goes double for any lawyers listening to this. Kiss my ass.
Suck me harder than you have.
You vultures.
No, it would be, you know, borderline libelous to say that every lawyer listening to this can kiss my ass until the sun explodes, but we won't do that.
Well, it's okay. Libel's written.
Oh, good. So I need to, like, write it on my hand, like, slander is when I'm recording the podcast, libel is when I'm tweeting.
Lenny White, Carl Black.
Exactly.
One of the things that we got a lot of comments about throughout this week from Tool fans was just a misunderstanding about journalism and how reporting works. So this is just a little journalism 101 for you real quick. When someone's accused of something, there's the news right there. That's the report of the facts is that, okay, X accused of alleged X, you know, so that's a billion times ethical. It's totally within every journalistic outlet's rights to go ahead and say this happened. Because it's objectively true.
We're saying that this person said this happened. And that's the thing. Like a reason why this didn't get. All right, let's back up. I guess.
Yeah.
Last Friday, a person on Twitter had written a long thread that is extremely difficult to read. Gave her account of being 17 and watching Tool and Nine Inch Nails. Back in, what was it, the year 2000?
I think it was a perfect Circle.
Oh.
Wasn't it?
You might be right, man. It was A Perfect Circle, yeah. Touring with Nine Inch Nails in the year 2000.
Yeah. Irrelevant, but continue.
She was essentially poached by some hand from backstage, brought back to A Perfect Circle's tour bus, and met manager James Cannon, who basically, without asking for any kind of consent, forcibly had sex with her. In the process, did not use a condom and gave her HPV. It's up to you if you want to read the details, read this tweet yourself. It is extremely difficult to get through. It'll kind of make you feel sick to your stomach. And in doing so, she mentioned that she was underage at the time, and he was 36 years old, which, you know, is gross. And in discussions with people she had known, she realized that this kind of thing likely was happening all the time. For somebody that tours, you know, nonstop across the world, that's probably a lot of other untold assaults piling up. Since that gained some notoriety, other people on the internet have told their stories as well. Some of them claiming that they had consensual encounters with Maynard, and a couple of others saying that it might not have been so consensual and this was also super creepy. So, we were one of the few sites that were willing to discuss those initial claims. I was disappointed to find that most outlets, I would say that most major outlets did, however, report on Maynard James Keenan's single tweet denial of any of these items. Jordan, do you have the denial tweet in front of you?
I do. And to your point, like, you know, we're very cool with a whole bunch of metal writers and music writers in general across the spectrum. And I was surprised at how quiet people were who normally, you know, jump to talk about these sort of things. So I don't know what that's about. Maybe they were just being patient, but it just seemed odd to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm disillusioned with people in this kind of sphere because they can talk a big game about this kind of thing and then, you know, don't back up what they're saying later.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? That's personal, whatever. It's their own thing. But Here is the tweet, and I'll read it in full, and then we can kind of go through and dissect it, because there's a lot here in just a small amount of characters. So this is what he had to say. This was his only response, by the way. It was just a tweet. There wasn't a press release. There wasn't PR behind it. He didn't give a direct quote to, like, Rolling Stone or anything. Just Twitter. Many thanks to those of you who saw right through this despicable false claim that only does damage to the hashtag MeToo movement. And shame on those of you who perpetuate this destructive clickbait. As for my delayed but unrequired response, I had my phone off. You should try it.
That tweet speaks volumes. And probably in ways that he didn't intend. Just, number one, saying that my unrequired response, it's I didn't have to even bring up any of this to deny that I didn't assault a 17-year-old. The fucking balls on this guy.
It goes in keeping with what we know about him being a rancid prick for his entire career.
It's also worth noting that he is notorious. His fans talk about it all the time, that he has a certain level of complete contempt for his fans. He doesn't like interacting with them. He doesn't like show any kind of affection for them. So for him to reach out and embrace his fans in this manner, like, I knew you were all, like, right. You know, you were all on my side. That's why I love and support you. It seems like, and I would like to, give me 1 second, because I saw Pink Black Noise on Twitter had a thought about this that really rang true for me. And that you all saw just the fire and the fury of the legion of Tool fans out there that were rushing to basically strike anybody down who had spoken about these allegations in the first place, to send them death threats, to send them obscenities, to, in the case of me, claim that I was a pedophile in multiple outlets. Thanks, Twitter, for doing something about that. Appreciate that. Pink Black Noise made this statement. He said, Maynard's response was a threat to the other victims, reminding them of how the Tool fan base will treat them if they come forward. When is he ever affectionate towards his fans? When he needs them to protect him, like now. I thought that was fairly resonant. Valid.
For sure. Some things to note about this story, and I do suggest everybody read it. I think it was Mosh Hoff who wrote that article that everybody saw. And by everybody, I mean everyone in the world. It's one of our bigger posts. He posted the entire length of the tweet. He copied and pasted it so that if it ever got deleted, it's up there for anyone to read. One thing that I do note and I think is so interesting, especially for people who assume this is fabricated, is that it's a very possible angle that MJK didn't break any laws in this tweet. We kind of throw around the word underage because morally she was an underage girl, but legally she was 17. She was not underage in the state where this occurred. And I feel like age of consent laws are more designed so that, like, 18-year-old boyfriends don't spend a good chunk of prison time for having, like, consensual sex with their, like, 16, 17-year-old girlfriends. I don't think they're designed so that grown men can go around fucking children, which, according to some of these reports, MJK kind of liked to go around and do.
It was definitely walking the line between what is legal and what is not legal.
Right.
Morally, he trod right over that line.
For sure. And you know, the fact that it's enough for some people that he didn't break any laws is, it kind of speaks volumes, because I don't think moral correctness and legality necessarily are always not mutually exclusive. Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, you can be a total scumbag and not break any laws. People do it all the time. So the fact that she didn't say no, the fact that it sounds like he didn't really physically restrain her, she just kind of was freaked out and froze because, again, she was a child. He could have probably not had any charges pressed on him, even if she did go to the police.
Yeah.
You know,
it's and when we talk about this, it's important to note the distinction between like the words rape and the word sexual assault.
Right.
I think that it's important to remember that a lot of people that maybe don't have as much experience with sexual violence kind of assume that rape can only be just a violent, forcible thing, often involving just a total stranger. And I think that's when the definition of sexual assault comes into play, because it kind of expands the definition to basically sex that should not have been. If somebody was incapacitated, yeah. If somebody was drugged, if no consent was given. This is often, you know, in the case of you know, somebody that you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be but like vaginal intercourse. It can be other unwanted sex acts.
I encourage people to listen to the song from Boy Sets Fire. It's called Unspoken Request, and we've had Nathan Gray from Boy Sets Fire on the show, and it goes into exactly what you're talking about, and I have the lyrics in front of me. I can just read a few of them. Like, failed coercion leads to intrusion, power drives him to murder innocence, you know, it's stuff like that. It's not just the one thing that people think of the most.
Right, it's not typically, it doesn't have to be like an SVU episode.
Right.
For it to be what it actually is. So, this could have very well happened. And, you know, he could have actually met this person saying these things and, you know, messed with this person saying these things. And he might have had no idea who she was or that any foul play took place. It could have just been another groupie he fucked. He just didn't care enough to know or consider.
Yeah, and then just looking at tales that other people have told, like, it's kind of the MO to not care. So it is not beyond the pale to me that somebody who is having just thousands of completely anonymous sexual encounters would maybe get a little bit lazy about looking for consent.
Right. And that's the thing here, is that this doesn't have to necessarily be this bullshit with, oh, guilty until proven innocent, oh, like all these morons coming out in droves to state that, hey, we shouldn't say anything in regards to telling the story because he hasn't been tried or he hasn't been charged with these things or whatever. It's just, it's a story of just sexual misconduct, of creepiness, of acting in a way you really shouldn't act as a decent human being.
It is, and this is, you know, a tough subject for like three dudes to be talking about, but we have to kind of we have to get this conversation going somewhere, because I need people to understand that when a questionable encounter happens, oftentimes the victim in the scenario will walk away from it and maybe be a little bit confused about what happened. And it will take some time for them to even realize, like, I did not want that. I did not ask for that. Why was he doing that? People can feel consumed by all kinds of conflicting feelings of guilt and of shame and anger. And it's all, it can be a self-perpetuating destructive cycle that can take so long for even to come to grips with, like, that is something that happened. And it's not that, like, oh, she had sex with you and regretted it later. It's, you know, there were laws of not laws, but there were norms of consent that were broken in any number of ways. And the best way to avoid this is use your fucking words. All you have to say is, do you want to do this?
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
I mean, it just, that, and that's why I'm going with the victim here. Because, I mean, the story is if you were to go out of your way to totally make something up, don't you think you would kind of make it a little more extreme? Don't you think you would kind of go out of your way to make it sound like he really did restrain you, or he really, you know, did act a lot more rough than he really did. You know, it just, since everything that was reported or everything that was alleged was so borderline and really walked the fine line of what's okay and what's not okay, it just, I don't know, it makes it that much more believable to me.
Yeah.
Even if people are hung up on this one particular Twitter account, there's been other accounts, people's personal accounts, going on throughout for years, but years, now they've come out even more in other places. So if people don't like this one, if they want to come up with their various excuses of, oh, this Twitter account was created last week, or why are they anonymous, or what does this mean, there's other things out there.
Yeah, absolutely true. Even the so-called denials make it look so much worse.
So much worse. Oh, my God.
There's that one particular guy on Reddit who is going into extreme detail on how he...
Can I read his account?
Yes, please. I don't have it in front of me.
So I do. This is fairly long. I was lurking the Tool subreddit after the initial tweets took off, and... You know, if you'll grant me a bit of levity in this this horrible subject, Tool subreddit might be the most pathetic series of words on the internet.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And before you start, I just want to say, if this guy really had an interest in helping Maynard James Keenan in this case, I think the best thing he could have ever done is shut the fuck up and never say anything.
I mean, this
is really bad what he's about to tell everybody.
Well, let's do it. Tool DVN stated on Twitter under the initial post about these claims. He said, "It's not true." Okay, so I'm just another guy on the internet, but I've had the privilege of getting backstage on more than a few separate occasions for Tool in a Perfect Circle. I am a somewhat well-known taper, been to 103 Tool shows and 50-plus A Perfect Circle shows, 20-plus Pucifer shows. I've got the passes to prove it.
Great.
I was even given one of Maynard's harem passes because they were out of the standard ones. I've also had two female friends, aged 20 and 23 at the time, pass muster and get to sleep with Maynard and gotten all the details. One ended up being a repeat contact because she lived in LA and could participate with him there when off tour. Number one, first off, there is and was no blonde, heavyset woman who acted as a handler for this. Women do not receive special passes, but they were handed out from his all-male security staff. So I guess this first denial is saying that women don't get to give the harem pass to other women. It has to be a man doing it. Is that what
the fucking harem pass?
The harem pass. Number two, the security staff checks IDs. If you are not of age, you do not get to go backstage. 17, though legal in some states, does not make the cut. Full stop. I mean, according
fake
to this,
IDs,
yeah, either fake IDs or according to this guy's count, like in the one state or couple of states that he's been to, I don't know. That's tough to call. Number three, passes for Maynard are different than the normal backstage pass for the show. A couple examples I can think of, and one I own that I received personally when they were out of normal ones, has a collage of women in kiss makeup, sucking dick, or other sexual acts, and he included a image of this disgusting thing. In a Perfect Circle one, I had had a picture of Maynard in Roman garb that said, "Have you serviced your gladiator today?" or something similar. There are no illusions about what you are there for. And if we could take a brief pause to discuss this.
To dry heave.
Who the fuck is this guy? Who the fuck do you think you are? Have you serviced your gladiator?
This guy has a system. A system to be a creep.
Yeah, the Maynard system, number one, manipulate. Number two, avoid authority.
to have such an organized, like you're saying, system in place to just funnel your dick into as many vaginas as possible on any given night you're playing a show. I'm surprised it was only HPV at the end of all of it.
We can also talk about that a little bit later. Let's continue. Number four, all backstage people are brought backstage to one or two rooms. Sometimes the Maynard groupies are brought to a separate room. It's never one woman alone. The smallest group I saw was 5 or 6 women, but it could be up to 20. Maynard makes an appearance in the room, might make some chit-chat, and then leaves. His security staff will then approach whatever 1 or 2 women that Maynard has selected for the night and tell them that Maynard would like them to come back to the bus or the hotel for the night. Number 5. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I took a deep breath because I needed one.
Oh, sorry. Number 5. Both experiences recounted to me from 2 women who do not know each other. Maynard was caring, slow and gentle. There was no pressure. He is interested in anal, as you would assume, but did not with one because she had never done it. Again, no pressure. This act ended up happening later when she was one of his regulars in L.A. Number 6. After the act, both women had nothing but good things to say about him and the security staff, making sure they were okay to leave the area and had some transportation when they left. So when you take these 2 accounts, and also what I saw happen in general with the process other times backstage, make the accuser's account incredibly hard to believe. For the guy down below in the thread whose girlfriend was weirded out for not letting her boyfriend backstage with her, I hope you understand by now that Maynard does not and will not meet normal Tool fans. Never. Has he appeared at any of the Tool clinics? No. Has he ever appeared at any of the APC VIP events? No. I only met him once backstage, and he was not thrilled with my concert total. Actually told me that I shouldn't see him that many times.
Same.
The meeting only happened because I was in a group of family for another person on the crew. I haven't been backstage since he's been married, so I don't know if his groupie whoring has continued. I don't think he should be demonized for this behavior. Yeah, it sucks that he doesn't want to meet the casual fan and have them gush over his music, but it doesn't make me want to listen to them less. End scene.
Probably the worst thing you could have done to really help this guy, situation.
The worst thing I've ever... Just like listening to this guy say that he's been to hundreds of these shows, that his idol doesn't want to talk to him, doesn't want to meet him, enthusiastically recounting how his friends were fucked by this guy.
I love you, Maynard, anyway. I love you anyway, Maney. I love you.
I'm just...
So fucking ridiculous.
Imagining...
It's an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining a comic book guy from The Simpsons, like, seeing the missile coming, and, oh dear, I've wasted my life.
But this guy will never see the missile coming.
No, I mean, if you can type all this out and, like, not stop what you're doing and just totally recollect what you've done with your life and what you're doing and, like, all of your priorities, like, you are done. You are never coming back from the abyss.
I don't think I've been to 103 shows, let alone fucking 103 run by this one idiot.
And that's just 103 Tool shows. He's been to 50-plus Perfect Circle shows and 20-plus Pucifer shows. Low-key, the most pathetic thing about this is he's been to multiple Pucifer shows.
Yeah, that's – this guy's – I've never seen someone recount how much of a personal loser they were. Entire life, like how they came to bat for this guy, what is one thing, but the fact that you were just so proud to admit, hey, I know this because I'm worthless and I don't have a life and I just can't stop worshiping this guy, so clearly I have no bias and can speak freely about this.
What? Jordan, I'd love to get your unvarnished take on this fellow,
this guy in specific, because we've over the past week have felt the very dumb brunt of Tool fans just doing the most incredible mental gymnastics, trying to explain away all of this, trying to defend their Lord and Savior. And there was one guy on Twitter who was just harassing various people in the metal community.
I remember this guy.
Just to block them later, like jumping into other conversations, be like, you're an asshole and you're stupid. And then just block people.
Yeah.
I kept I think one of those guys kept calling everybody a Trump voter because they would.
Yes, that was a guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've got a problem with sexual assault, you would be voting for the guy that bragged about grabbing women by the pussy.
That's serial sexual assault there.
Yeah. So, some weird cognitive dissonance going on. I was kind of joking about this earlier, but I do actually mean it, and that have you? Well, Jordan, I of course you haven't. Breno, have you ever taken psychedelics?
Yes.
Okay.
One time.
I have a couple of times, and I honestly think like trying it out in a good environment will make you feel more empathetic to other people, try to make you like understand we're kind of all in this together and we need to try to take care of each other and the place around us as much as possible, you know, without getting all hippy dippy about the shit. But
yeah, but I mean, like, I'm usually a pretty loving dude. I'm a huggy guy. Like, yeah. I a little bit of weed and I'm like that. Maybe two drinks in, I'll actually, you know, kiss my mom on the cheek for once. I'm just, you know, only then though. Normally I hate her,
but you know,
I hear what you're saying.
The whole thing with Tool, like opening your third eye, you know, like, you know, using tons of psychedelics and shit, like it's made these people worse at being a human. It makes them less empathetic. It makes them more knee-jerk angry. Like, I think that maybe we ought to reconsider all of our fields of study with psychedelics because of these Tool fans.
I mean this isn't to say that people who take psychedelics are necessarily, you know, cooler, better people, but honestly I think someone who is like a Tool fan is generally a pretty average person. Like, Tool has been on rock radio for how many years before rock radio kind of died, maybe in the last few years? Being a fan of Tool isn't really so far off as being a fan of, you know, Breaking Benjamin or Nickelback or anybody else who has gotten as much radio time.
And considering the devotion that the fan base has, like, the closest analogy of other 90s rock shit would be you are essentially Dave Matthews Band fans.
Right.
I was gonna say Bare Naked Ladies.
It's in like the throes of my rage over this week, I just haven't stopped saying Rush for Korn fans.
It was always Radiohead for Juggalos is what I would.
Yeah. Radiohead for Juggalos is better.
See, it's funny talking about Tool fans. It actually reminded me of maybe a year ago I went out for dinner and the table behind me, it was just a bunch of guys, and they were talking about their Tool cover band the entire time, really loudly. Oh, you got to come see us. We're doing this. We're going to practice all this. And as we get up to leave, one of them like turns to me and says, "Oh, hey, do you like Tool?" And I just go, "No."
I used to live with a guy who was a big Tool fan, and they just don't shut up. he would gush on and on about how Danny Carey had taken LSD over and over again to find the perfect configuration for his drum patterns, and it involved numerology and shit. I'm like, no, he didn't. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh my god, dude, they're drop D music. Whoa.
He has to sit down to play bass. It's so complicated.
I mean, it's and here's the thing. It's not about the music. Like, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I like stupid, terrible bands all the time. I've seen ICP twice, so, you know, get the fuck off me. It's about...
Wait, I'm not... We're on this now. Why is that? No, it's... But no, you're right. It's about what's actually happening.
Yeah, it's about the shitty attitude that you foster in this hero, this misguided hero worship. Like... Yeah. It's going to be a fact that the way that we structure hierarchies, just people have more power than others. They get fan bases. They get money. And again, it's not just with like big arena rock bands. It's like even with shitty like death metal or black metal circles, like where there's, you know, the stakes are much lower with simply hundreds of people rather than like millions. It's yeah. There's a sense of hero worship behind it where people, if they like somebody's output of work enough, they're willing to overlook the immoral shit that they do when abusing their status within whatever community this is. It's, you know, it's hardly you know, just in rock and roll music, but I mean, given 60 plus years of rock and roll music being about partying and drugs and groupies, like specifically about taking advantage of young women that like your music, that's like part and parcel of the entire thing. And just the sheer number of these people, like, it's a toxic cocktail that is just, it makes me physically sick.
Right. And, you know, it's just, I get the angle of people saying, you know, look, I have no way of knowing, so I can't weigh in on this. You know, I think that sucks. I think it sucks that you're so willing to just poo-poo any sort of rape allegation you come across. Because usually when someone says something like this, they're going to say this with everything. And I think we all agree that not only Tool fans came forward and defended this guy, because you're always going to get those group of people that anytime there's any sort of rape accusation that's leveled against someone who's in any way prolific, there's just that immediate knee-jerk cynicism that, oh, she's just looking for attention. She's just looking for money. She's just a lying whore like they all are, you know. We've had certainly plenty of comments like that this week.
Lots of people are making money off of anonymous Twitter posts, just like how we're making tons of money writing a quote-unquote clickbait article on a website that has zero ads.
Right.
I did like that one guy accused us of clickbait for ad revenue. It's like, look around, you dumbass.
Scroll up, scroll down, look side to side, and then tell me where our ad revenue comes in.
And I think that some people are so fucking cynical that, like, some of these things don't make any sense. Like, for us to try to tell a story about what possibly happened and try to give some background information about statistics and support, that it doesn't make any sense that anybody would do that unless there was a monetary revenue, like a monetary goal behind it. It's the same thing with a victim coming forward, like assuming that the only reason you would do that is because you think that you might get money out of it. It's cynical and it's toxic, and it completely, it makes you inhuman to think that there's nothing else behind a person.
What I'm so amazed by is how in one of like her first, if not her very first tweet, she was like, look, the reason I'm going anonymous is because I know I'm going to get piled on by a million Tool fans and I just don't need that. And then like, way to go, and just without even a microsecond of self-evaluation, way to prove this woman right as soon as you physically could.
The things that I saw people replying to on those her initial series of tweets, you people need to take a hard fucking look in the mirror and think about what you're doing with your life.
Yeah.
Like, and if you need to like tell somebody, a potential victim of sexual violence, that they're a lying whore because they would dare sully the name of the guy in that band that you like, the guy with all that money and all that power and all that fame, who has clearly been abusing it for 30 years, you need to just reconsider who you are as a human.
Damn, I couldn't say it better myself. I know we all could have said it better if we weren't like three white dudes on a podcast. But, you know, here we are. And I think that even though we're not the best people to speak out about this, I think that we have a duty to do so. You know, I think that there's just, when you kind of consider some of these reactions, whether he did it or not is so beyond the point. Just the fact that people were so fucking just immediate with their response and their cynicism, and just like, I mean, rape culture exists, man. I've never seen it so proven to me than yeah. I have in the last week or so.
Yeah.
So
many people in my life have been the victim of sexual violence. And I am not an outlier, you know. I've known a bunch of women in my life and men that have had sexual assault perpetuated against them, some of them repeatedly throughout their lives. And I am not alone in that. You people listening to this, there are people in your life that have been the victim of sexual violence too. They might not talk about it. They might not ever talk about it, but it has happened. Because the way that we live, and how consent hasn't even been an issue until very, very recently, it has been a gross, perpetuating sickness upon our society. And there are just so many victims out there, and you need to at least try to practice a little bit of empathy for somebody who's been through something that you have not been through.
Right. And some of the worst comments were the ones that didn't deny that this could have been true. They were the ones that believed it, but then blamed the victim for what happened. Oh, you're getting on a bus with a rock star? What do you think is going to happen? You know, you're 17 years old. Shouldn't you know better?
total abnegation of responsibility for a 40-year-old man. Just right. Unbelievable.
Give me a fucking break. I'm not even 36 yet, you know. And it's like, have you guys met a 17-year-old person? They're children.
Yeah.
They're 10-year-olds with bodies they're still developing. They're fucking kids, man. And judging from the fact that he's going around checking IDs tells you that he prefers them young. Well, you know, I don't have to check IDs when I mean, I'm married now, but when I was going out for dates, I didn't fucking check anybody's IDs because I'm attracted to women, not fucking kids, man.
Gross. It is very extremely gross.
For the few Tool fans who are still listening and have gotten through this,
fuck you!
Kill yourselves. Eat a gun.
sorry.
If you're still listening to this and your knee-jerk reaction is still, I don't believe this. This can't be true. There's no way this is true. Replace the person who wrote this, all these series of tweets, and all the other people who have written about it, with your mom, with your sister, your aunts, your cousins, your daughters.
Your girlfriend.
How do you feel about it now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think of anybody who has a kid. You know, it's like that daughter you have, she's 11, she's 12, and then one day she's 13, she's 14, 15, going on. I mean, mentally and education-wise, not a lot changes between someone who's a very, very young kid and someone who's 17. It's for a fucking guy to be in his late 30s going around and, you know, preferring people of that age is just, I mean, I don't care how legal it is. It's fucking wrong, man.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you know, our little boys club, like, you know, dudes getting together, like, it's a common thing, like, this whole rape culture thing just keeps getting perpetuated with the things that we say. It's important to call out your buddy who's, like, you know, maybe likes him real young, to call him a fucking creep. To call him a creep, yeah, in front of your friends. Don't let that shit slide. You know, people, because, you know, the way that we've gone, you know, as American males for so long, like, it's boys will be boys bullshit, and it can end with you. You have the power to set somebody straight. You got the power to, like, break this disgusting chain. You know, we all have a little bit of power to do something. So, there's just something to think about, man.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's always so much more we can say about this. So it's like,
We could talk a little bit more about these people that are invading our mentions, claiming that none of this happened. Jordan, yeah, you mentioned before the show that their latest theory is that, so I'll let you continue with the email address.
Yeah, so we've gotten, you know, obviously the response for the most part has been, everyone needs to read the story, people need to know this, but as we've mentioned, we've been getting responses back from people running the gamut of thoughtful to absolutely insane. In the past couple of days, we've been getting an occasional response here and there saying that the email address connected to this Twitter account connects to some random man's dating account on a dating website or app that I've never even heard of. So that's the current theory as to who this person is, and that it's a quote-unquote hoax, which is a word that's been used for places like the PRP.com.
Yeah. I would like to note that this theory, you know, is bullshit. Because this claim that this email address matches up with this Plenty of Fish profile, if you look at this for 1 second, you realize they are not the same. The actual letters laid out between each other are not the same. It does not work that way.
Yeah, the internet is very specific. If you email that person thinking you're going to get one, you're going to get another. That's how that works.
Yeah.
And by the way, you've never heard of Plenty of Fish?
I think I just saw it as, like, POF, or something like that. So I'm like, what the hell's POF?
On a lighter note, I met my wife on Plenty of Fish.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I met my fiancé on Tinder.
Wow, go figure.
I met my girlfriend in real life in college.
Oh.
But the point I wanted to make was, let's say this is the same email address on Twitter as that address. That doesn't mean the person's story is false. That just means someone used an email address to sign up for Twitter. It could have been their friend's email address that they wanted to use rather than their own personal address to avoid getting harassment.
Very valid. Yeah, it's that's a good point.
Why would you make an anonymous Twitter account and not make like an anonymous email account then?
That's like keeping it incognito on the internet 101. Is that if you want to make some shady anonymous account of any kind, you got to make a new shady anonymous sort of email to go with it.
And it's so sad that people's response is not, we need to talk about this, this is a problem, it's, this person's a liar, I'm gonna get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, it's like if your immediate response is that they're lying and here's the evidence to why they're lying, and you're so dead set on finding the truth that you want as opposed to the truth that actually is, still reflective of how much you suck.
Yeah. In this process, a lot of people brought up decapitated, and that they were held for a while on credible allegations and eventually released when the charges were dropped, but like without prejudice, which means that they could be brought up at any time again. And there are any number of reasons that happen, including for the safety of the victim, which is the one that stood out to me the most. This does not necessarily mean that decapitated did not do it. It means that for whatever reason, prosecution decided that like it was probably better off to just let this go, possibly because, you know, if it's anything like what I saw on the internet, the victim was getting a whole lot of death threats.
Yeah, it's important to remember that they were never proven innocent.
Yeah, and these fucking morons, immediately this happens, they're like, ha ha, we told you. And do you fucking know how the world works? Do you know how the legal process works? You know, I don't know. I can't handle some of these chuds sometimes. It's beyond me.
Practice empathy, y'all.
Yeah, we have some of these people in the Facebook group, the Toilet Hill Facebook group, who only post when stuff like this comes up to say, well, I don't believe that.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm just going to go ahead and kick those people out. Like, they've offered nothing of substance ever.
I am all for that. See you later. You will not be missed.
Yeah. Fuck off. Like, you're not welcome here. It's like, maybe you don't think that's fair, but, you know, and like I said, I think it's sucky to err on giving MJK the benefit of the doubt. A lot of people just seem to can't help themselves and do that and not want to believe it's true. But I get it. We have no way of proving it. So if you were to feel that way and you say, you know, I don't have any evidence, I can't immediately assume this is what happened. I mean, I can kind of get that angle. But what I can't fucking get is the way some of you guys are talking about the victim and the way you guys are just approaching this entire situation and how you're handling it. It's just, it's not fucking human, man. And you suck and I don't want you around. We're not friends.
Yeah.
You
know? I don't want to be friends with it. And here's the thing, like, even if it does come out like this is a big hoax, nothing that I just said on the show, I would change it. I would not change a bit of it.
Yeah.
No.
I wouldn't either. It's, you know, it's how you should fucking be. It's how you should approach these things. It's just an iota of empathy is really all any of these people need.
An iota of empathy, and please remember, folks, imbalance of power structures. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
If some 17-year-old, like, with nothing, like, no clout, no fan base, no millions of dollars, like, has very little in the way of any kind of defense against a multimillionaire with literally millions of fans. It's just, remember these power imbalances, because this is how a lot of things get really fucked up really quickly.
Yeah. And a tried and true penchant for very young groupies.
No.
Right? It's like, how fucking likely is this? That's what I'm hung up on, is just like, how could people so be so beyond that this is believable? You know?
I would like to, before like we close it out, I mentioned this in the comments. My lady volunteers with a service called SAFE, which helps both men, women, and children who have been the victims of sexual or physical violence. It helps them with legal service. It helps them with shelter. It helps them with therapy services. There are services like this all over the United States. And, you know, safe at least if you call them, like, it's based out of where I am, but they will connect you with services wherever you are. If you have something that you need help with, if you need something to, if you just need to talk this over with somebody, like, by all means, please give them a call. They are trained professionals, and it will help. You know, if you message any of us, we're happy to help you out too and connect you in any way. But you know, these are people that know more than we know, so it is well worthwhile talking to them. Or if you don't have anything to talk about but you want to help out a good cause, maybe slide them some dough if you got some dough on the side. Man, this has been a fucking difficult one. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to discuss on it?
I wish there was an anal cunt song about Maynard.
It's surprising that there's not.
I guess we gotta be the change we want in the world and make a crotch monster song.
You took LSD and abused children. Parentheses, you're gay is what the is what Maynard James Keenan, yeah. Is what Seth Putnam would say.
You're bald.
You're bald and your wine sucks.
Yeah. I think we could write an entire album about how he's bald. I don't think anyone ever did that to anybody before.
No, definitely never made an entire record about how someone's bald. Yeah. I gotta say, it feels weird closing this out talking about anal cunt, man. I don't think we can do this. I think we have to find something else to pivot to quickly.
Right. I don't know. I think that's par for the course for us. Is you know, very focused, very just leftism, and then our appreciation for anal cunt right after.
Every time we try to do something good, we fuck it up.
Just edit it out.
Yeah.
We can finish off by talking about your dogs. How are they doing?
Pock marks and all. They need to know that we are imperfect people.
On a lighter note, when we finish up recording here, because we're going to do the bonus Patreon episode in just a minute, and you know what? I'm going to give a quick plug for that bonus show. We watched the James Hetfield porn documentary.
You might need to explain that, because people might be really confused.
Nope, not gonna explain that a bit. James Hetfield did a porno, and we watched it, and we're gonna talk about it. And I got it is the most mind-blowing fucking thing I've seen in a good long while. Like, as much as Hereditary fucked me up, like, nothing compared to Chasing the Cardboard Butterfly featuring James Hetfield. So that's gonna
much scarier.
Yeah, by the time this show airs, that bonus show is going to be available on Patreon. I'll probably put a sample of the show beneath this audio player, but if you want to hear the whole thing, definitely go. Give us $5 on Patreon, and it'll open up the entire catalog of previous bonus shows as well. But just if you've ever wondered what a bunch of Christian Scientists think about porno, We're gonna show you everything.
Everything.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and all those things. I'm at Joe Thrash and Kill. Brenna, what are you?
I am Brennaside.
Jordan?
Right?
That's not your Twitter account.
Oh. Well, hold on. I didn't know what he was asking. I was like, that's me.
Oh. What's your Twitter?
My Twitter is That's Not Metal, because I am.
Jordan, what's your Twitter?
At 365 Days of Horror.
If you like the show, if you don't like the show, feel free to reach out. We're all ears. We could probably stand to learn a thing or two. Well, thanks for listening to us, and we'll see you next week.
Keep it metal, guys, and hey, be good.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.